We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, and this is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. We are live in the Kia Studios on the day before the draft. Not the day before the day, but the day before.
I used to have a teammate, Justin Blaylock, who, Tiff, I think you've met. Justin Blaylock used to walk in on Fridays. It was kind of our last, you know, practice day, really. And he would go, "It's the day before the day before." And we'd be like, "Yeah, it's the day before the day before."
I like that.
JB was hilarious, man. He used to drop those one-liners. But, yeah, it's the day before. Excited about it. And I want to say suspense is building. Suspense is building, I guess, is the right way to put it.
I mean, I think it definitely is building a little bit after that press conference that just Terry Fontenot attended yesterday, because he mentioned multiple times the skill players that could be available at 8. And I know I'm jumping ahead, and anticipation thing because Tiffany. When Mike says the anticipation is building on where they might go, to me, I think if you listen to that press conference, you might have a few more doubts about where they will go.
He also gave his definition of what best player available means for the Falcons. So we'll have all that for you in just a little bit. But the Braves, and I know I was contemplating going to the game last night.
Did you go?
I kind of wish I would have gone now.
Did you go?
I did not go.
Oh. I told you.
I did not go because I wanted to.
You're so lame.
You know,
I'm not.
I was watching last night going, "Oh, man, Tiff's getting to watch this. So this is awesome."
My brain is in a cloudy state as we speak, and I know had I gone to this game last night, it'd be devastation this morning. You guys would not like me any more than you already don't. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Okay.
Sure, let's just go with it.
I'm going to tell you something.
It's impossible.
I know.
Extra tired.
You wouldn't, because I gave you the formula, Tiffany.
Is Mio in the formula?
No. Okay. I remember what I told her. Mike, what is a considered
5.5 innings?
I literally looked at my cell phone clock, because that's the only clock I had in my area.
Watch.
And I got the TVs going, because I did a race at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like,
you're a beast for that.
It was like 8:24, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, might have been even earlier than that. It might have been like 8:15, and I see Max Free get out of the top of the fifth, and I go, I know Tiffany probably didn't go, but if she did, she could be leaving right now, and she'd be like, "Man, that Bo is a gosh darn genius."
I almost texted you guys, because instead I was thinking, okay, maybe I can pull this off. My friend's texting me. She's like, "It's not a big deal. You know, her brother has season tickets. We can go whenever we want to go."
Oh, that actually—that's different.
So, yeah. I also have another connection that gets me really good seats as well. So I wasn't really.
This is the first time hearing this.
I don't have any connections.
Yeah, that's
that
weird.
Can get me.
I would love to go sit in the Delta Club with you, Tiff.
Well, found out that my friend found out her brother had season tickets. I didn't know. This is a reconnection from college. We've been hanging out a bit lately, so she's really cool. Yes.
What's the best place to sit at Truist Park? Like at any ball field, not Truist Park. I don't like not specific. Don't say like 755 Club. If you go to a baseball game, where's the best place to sit?
I think I think in a baseball game, and I know Day Day's a guy that's attended a lot.
Like
I think it's a preference.
First baseline, like
I think it's a preference because my best friend growing up, his grandmother had a really close relationship with the Aaron family, and so at Old Turner Field, the Aaron seats were directly behind home plate. And I'm telling you, that's the best seat I've ever sat in. However, a lot of people love sitting out there in the outfield where the chop house is because now they've got the seats out there. Yeah. That's a really good seat. I've sat down the third baseline before. I think that's fun.
That's my preference.
You like sitting like behind the dugout?
Yeah.
I think it is directly related to the start time of the game. I think.
Oh, you're going with the sun?
No. I think when it's a day game, I am more likely to pound beer, and so I'm like cool with just getting a cheap outfield ticket. You know what is it? The Home Depot deck out there and sitting kind of below that, maybe left center. Maybe you get a home run ball. You got to keep your head on a swivel. But I know I'm probably going to pound beer if it's like a 1:30 start time. You know that kind of thing. If it's a night game, I'm probably more likely to sit like behind home plate and really kind of take in pitch movement, things like that.
I could see that.
At no point though, Tiff, have I ever been like, man, I gotta sit behind the dugout? It's either outfield or straight behind home plate.
I like either the third baseline or like you said, behind the dugout, and then working your way in like closer to home plate.
Yeah.
So either that section's fine with me. But I have to tell you guys, so I didn't go. I feel, you know, I should have gone. Probably could have still been in bed around the same time, ended up in bed.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, and I'm not going to go off topic here, but every time I visualize I'm going to have the best night of sleep ever for the past, two out of the last 4 days? What day is this? Yeah, whatever.
Today's Wednesday.
That sleep plan has been interrupted by a dog. One was mine, one wasn't. But I'll tell that other story in TV's timeout.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be
kind of
crazy. But back to baseball. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We are talking at great length about being at Braves games because Max Fried was going to work last night. He threw Atlanta's first 9-inning complete game since 2022 as they beat the Marlins 5-0.
I got
a three hitter.
I got in a few holes last night where I was I was more like Max Fried, Max Fried at the beginning of the season and said, "This Max Fried golf." I played.
I figured. I just thought, okay.
What?
Nothing, man. Go ahead.
And so I missed the first inning. So I turned on the second inning and as they were coming out of commercial break to start the second, and I see Max Fried on like 15 pitches or something, or maybe 13. And I go, immediately just said, he's got it.
Mm.
And I watched that second inning, and I could not take my eyes off the game. And I told you I did that race at 8:30. I was like,
that's not good.
That's not good.
Might have been why I wrecked.
You've done that before. I was going to say, you've done that before and piled it into the wall.
And if you don't, I know you can't see me, but my TV that I have of the Braves game, I have a TV that's designated for Braves and Hawks at night. And it's on the right wall and the
same,
left.
Same. I'd love to make fun of you, but same.
There's a TV in the center where my furniture sits in my my den and office, whatever you want to call it, is center. And my TV to the right is always got Braves or Hawks or whatever sporting event is on that is a focus of mine. And I just kept peering over because he was everything. He threw a curveball last night. I don't know. I think it was a curve. Might have been
sweeper.
Is what it was, and it started outside and it finished. I mean, barely caught the inside corner of what the box would be, and he froze the batter as much to where he knew it. And when he called him out, I'm pretty sure it was a slider. Now, like the angst that you saw on the face wasn't that you screwed me on the call. Was I'm so frustrated. How do I even hit that? There's no, like,
Nothing.
What
you can
do.
What
do I do?
Nothing.
And it's
you
just
do.
Like it's the frustration of what do you do?
Yeah, I think when aces and guys with that kind of stuff, when they get in a groove, that's got to be frustrating for hitters. Max Fried is on my fantasy team. Shout out, you know, shout out to Team Johnson because he is on my fantasy team. I was not tuned in to start the game, and I think I tuned in, I don't know, second or third inning, and kind of plugged in, and I noticed immediately how efficient he was being. And guys, I tweeted this last night, and it is One Word Wednesday, so we'll get to that coming up at 7:40. But the word I used on Twitter last night was vintage, and I don't mean vintage. I didn't mean that to sound like vintage Max Fried, although it is vintage Max Fried. Vintage in terms of like what Major League Baseball pitching used to be. Major League Baseball pitching used to be this in the 90s. It used to be incredible to watch Tom Glavine or Greg Maddux come out and throw a complete game shutout in the 90s. You just don't see it. You don't see it as much anymore, and it was vintage of me. It was very 90s baseball-esque to watch Max Fried go the distance in under 100 pitches. The only thing not vintage was the game time because it was very, very quick.
I know. I'm like, I should have been there.
It's funny.
Under 2 hours.
I started thinking about that, too, the Greg Maddux thing, because I like to watch a lot of those games. Fried. The best part about this was Fried was talking to my boy Wiley Ballard afters, and he on Bally, and he said that basically Travis told him a couple of days ago, you need to go throw a complete game. You're going to go throw a complete game.
A couple of days ago, just talking to Travis, he had just made mention in passing that he was like, next time you go out there, I want a complete game. So just hearing that and just seeing how efficient Bryce was last night, really being on the attack, having low pitch count early, it just kind of motivated me or just kind of showed me a little bit of a path of be on the attack, get contact early and try to, attack these guys. And if you give up hits, you can still give up hits and get out of the situation with a low pitch count.
Hearing him say that, watching Bryce kind of, set that off in him it's just awesome. Like, you got a guy that just came up from AAA that's starting his first game of the year, and yet Max Fried, who is now the ace of the staff, bar none, like he is the ace, is watching Bryce Elder come up from AAA. He's like, you know what? This guy's onto something. And it, like, rekindles that spirit of pitching to contact, pitching
and
ground balls.
How good does that have to feel for Bryce to hear that?
Awesome. Awesome stuff, man.
And remember, because he saw, he saw Bryce Elder go out there and do it without just blowing guys away. It wasn't dominant speed. It was just location.
What was the name of that old FX show? Nip Tuck? That's what it was.
Yeah, there was.
Nip
yeah.
and Tuck.
Dude.
Just Nip and Tuck.
We used to have Nip
wild.
Tuck viewing parties in college.
The show was, yeah.
I don't know if that's weird or not.
That's kind of weird to have a viewing party.
People did Game of Thrones viewing parties. You have a problem with that?
It's
one's
a little bit
not
different.
Real.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we sit by the studio if you got a problem?
All right, we are a day away.
6:13, I already got challenged to a fight.
From the draft.
I didn't say that. I just said we'll sit about the studio.
Atlanta Falcons GM Terry Fontenot, he met with the media yesterday, and he explained what best player available means for the Falcons. Perhaps, does it mean generational player? I don't know, Bo. I don't know. Let's find
don't
out.
Don't start that.
When we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mornings on the Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I got that real good, feel good stuff up under the seat of my big black jacket truck.
Why did I picture Bo in a music video?
Because it's spot on, man. Georgia's own Luke Bryan.
Hey, man, I went down to Nashville on Broadway.
You don't have a jacked up truck, though. That would look.
No.
I would judge you if your truck. I like your truck, man. If it was jacked up, I would judge you.
Well, I would never jack it to that.
Just turn the microphone off.
I'd jack up my truck to that extent. I would.
It's a family show.
I probably wouldn't go over 31s with the leveling kit. I mean, I don't. It's too much. I just want a little extra height.
Leveling kit.
But yeah. I could never have a raised truck these days because I go and park it unless it was a secondary vehicle.
I'll say this about musicians. I like Luke Bryan. There's just some musicians out there, and you guys can probably vibe with this, that I just don't believe. Like, that's my biggest thing when I listen to music. I want to find it believable.
I'm not sure I
believe Luke Bryan when he sings some of his music. He's more of a beachy guy to me than he is like a country, going fishing in the creek kind of guy.
Well, this is how I feel about some of the new rap artists nowadays.
I know, yes.
And I always reference 3-6 Mafia, but they were telling stories. Like, they weren't just going.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
They were going to put you in the trunk.
That's
they were
going to
drive you to
about.
The, you know.
I like some of these.
Well, that
some
sounds
of these
like Eminem. I mean, are you just singing the lyrics to Stan?
No, I'm not. Oh my goodness.
I'm telling y'all, I listen to that.
It's a story with
like,
the rap song. Like when I'm lifting weights, I want to hear about why you're gonna,
yes.
you know, drop that man in the river.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
I want to know. I need to.
Why
know.
He's gonna be wearing? Well, he's gonna be wearing concrete shoes.
To your point. I'm not a former rapper like Day Day, but to me, all of the songs now are made specifically to be played in a club.
Yes,
and not
different.
On the. And back then, to your point, they
but
were.
There was a beat with it too.
They were rapping about their lives, and I mean,
yes.
you know, it just so happened that "Lose Yourself" had the beat and the lyrics, so it served multiple purposes. But I mean, no, there's truth to that. I mean, if I asked a 19-year-old right now what Kenny Chesney's first hit was, they would never realize that this dude was singing about a freaking tractor.
Yeah, he sings about what he should be singing about now.
Yeah, which is, you know, his toes in the sand.
Exactly.
But you know what? Went downtown on Broadway that night, pulled out the Ariat's.
That's right,
TF.
You're an up-and-coming
got
artist.
The skins.
Tell
red
me
bobber
a story.
Hat. I walked down Broadway like a man.
A lot of truth.
I want to listen to violent music on my way to work.
Of course you do.
And then walk in and be, you know, corporate.
I mean, I can see you as a semi-violent person.
I see Tiffany just listening to music and lifting weights. I got a chopper in the car.
That's it goes all over the place. It's very, you know, one day it's Chris Stapleton.
Down, Tiff.
This is all my workout mix. Has a Chris Stapleton song. But then it goes to 3-6 Mafia song. Then it's got like Meg Thee Stallion. You know, it's got.
Do you finish
anyway.
Like the last rep and deadlift and you start like doing your fingers like this? Like,
it just depends on my mood. And sometimes I'll skip songs too. But it depends on what kind of mood I am. I wonder if the Falcons brass will be pumping out any sort of music in the war room.
They're in
tomorrow,
a confident mood.
You know,
confident.
They need a confident song.
Yeah.
Not an arrogance.
Nope.
Not an arrogance.
It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly,
yeah, right.
Terry. Preach. And Terry Fontenot, the Falcons GM, he did speak with the media yesterday, and he explained, this is the question I love that he was asked this question.
I do too.
And I want to hear the answer. He explained what best player available means for the Falcons.
When we talk about best player available, it's really it's best player available for us, right? Because I think sometimes when people hear best player available, they're looking at some of the experts' list, right? And what each – you have 32 different draft boards, you know. They're probably a little more similar in the top 10 or in the top, you know, but as you're – they can get very different as you go through the draft, but you truly have 32 different draft boards. When you talk about best player available, really you're talking about best player available for us And the key is not reaching for needs.
It's almost like Terry Fontenot and I are simpatico.
Kindred spirits.
Because this is exactly, guys, what I've been saying. Like, remember, because Mel Kiper or, you know, Todd McShay, who used to be, have these guys on their board, doesn't mean that's where they are really ranked. Daniel Jeremiah's board is not Terry Fontenot's or Mickey Loomis's or, you know, name the GM. And that's the first thing. And then the second thing is what he talked about is it's about getting the best player available without reaching for needs. And that is something that I think that's something that we struggle with as fans, because we know what our team needs and has holes at, Mike. But we also don't want them reaching. And I think in the past, the one fault that Thomas had when he was the GM is he would draft for need, and at times he would overdraft a player.
Yeah.
And I think that gets you in trouble. That's the one thing that Fontenot hasn't done.
Yeah, I think you're dead on. And I think Terry kind of addressed that in his own way when he talks about impact players and things yesterday. Because, look, to his point, you never know what the plan is for this defense. Jimmy Lake, we can sit there and say Dallas Turner fits what Jimmy Lake wants to do. Do we really know that Jimmy Lake could come over and completely redo his defensive playbook? He might really be leaning on an interior defensive lineman the way he's seen. He might say, hey, we're going to go three safety look every down. I mean, we don't really know. So inside of Terry's conversations, and he talked about kind of getting together with the scouting department and the coaches and really having good dialogue, right, and really having good back and forth. And so you never know what's on Terry's draft board. Best player available is best player available for their needs and in his eyes.
And some people have been calling them a lot. Apparently the phone has been ringing quite frequently when it comes to a trade. Could they move back with the 8th overall pick? Here's Fontenot on the team taking more calls than usual.
When you can have possibly that many quarterbacks going at the top, then it's going to push down some really good skill players. And so depending on – there could be a lot of action at some different spots around our pick. So right now those calls are just exploratory. So we have the conversations, but you really don't get into – what the value would be. It's just a lot of preliminary calls, because to your point, they won't happen until it's really on the clock, right? Whenever you see what players are there. And then when it gets close to your pick, you start getting the calls that say, hey, if our player's there, then this is what we would do. And you start having those real conversations of what it would take. And what we have to do is know at each pick what's going to be the value to go down. So this is what it would take for us to move from this pick down 3 spots or 4 spots or 10 spots, whatever it is.
So we know Terry's not going to tell us what exactly it would take for them to move off of that spot, but what do you guys think would take for a team to be able to get them to move off that 8th overall pick?
Well, I like to think of like Terry as like Kevin Costner from Draft Day. And he's like willing and dealing. I'm just kidding.
Have you seen the video yet that I was telling you about?
I haven't got a chance to watch it.
Tiff, there's a video that Adam Schefter put out. I was talking to Bo about it this morning. Monty Austinfort, who is the GM of the Arizona Cardinals.
And he's his second year now, I think.
He's putting the deal in with the Texans last year for the Texans to move up into the two slot. And watching him do this in a matter of time, you're on the clock for, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
He has, like, 5 guys around him. Jonathan Gannon's sitting over there, like, literally with his jaw on the floor. Hasn't said a word for most of the video. And he's like, we need a 95, a 104, a 24 first, this, that, and the other. Is that good value? And he's pointing around the room. How much time's left on the clock? 6 minutes? And then it's like just picking up the phone. Okay, cool, call me back. Boom. Okay, hey, what do you got? Call me back. Unbelievable. Like, I was dumbfounded watching this going, I could never be a GM. Like, this guy's got too many irons in the fire. I he had like 9 cups of coffee, like a Dan Campbell amount of caffeine heading into this draft. And I was like, this guy's going to blow a gasket. But that is like, that moment, those 10 minutes are your Super Bowl if you're a GM. And when I tell you this man rose the occasion, I had to pull the video for it. It was unbelievable.
You're wheeling and dealing.
It's hard to say exactly what it's going to be, but I think he has to take into account how far he's going back. That's a big deal. How far you're willing to move back and in return. Because the further you move back, realistically, the more you can get for it.
Right, exactly.
He said something about what we've talked about at length about the draft and the quarterbacks going early. And there is essentially going to be a run on quarterbacks to start this draft. The question is, when is their first receiver off the board? Is it at 4, or is it 5, or is it even at 6? Because if it is, if it waits to 6, because someone moves up to 4 to get a quarterback, and maybe someone moves up to 5 to get a quarterback, then the Falcons are A, in play for a big-time receiver, or B, someone is going to move up to get a big-time receiver possibly, and that could put the Falcons in play to move back.
Look, all I know is I have a feeling Terry's got something up his sleeve, and we will hear more from him next on the other side. We'll also hit a TB's timeout. You know, I stage a rescue every now and then. I don't want to crown myself a hero or anything, but, you know, we might do that when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Don't touch that dial.
This is the Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Just setting the scene
for
the draft tomorrow.
You gotta hear the drum roll.
Fog machines are starting up.
And that's how Terry Fontenot walks in the war room in Flowery Branch, baby. As soon as the drums hit,
this is not true.
The door comes open. No. There's a smoke machine. He steps in like Goldberg.
No. That's not happening.
No, dude. He's that is exactly. Very much. No, it's more like a stone cold glass break. You know, that kind of thing going on. That's how you walk.
You don't know Terry. I know Terry.
You don't
either. Oh, really?
You don't know Terry.
You guys are besties.
Terry personally called me yesterday and said, "I hate Phil Collins." That's what happened. Yeah, I can't make that up.
That would be random.
Yeah.
I mean,
not when you're as close as we are.
Oh, really?
So. Hmm. Yeah.
Well,
it's like you guys have all the connections here.
I said, "Terry, I did a PFF a mock. It went quickly. Just tell me how I did." And he was like, "Actually, that's spot on." And I was like, "Okay."
He said,
cool.
"We're going to hang that in the war room."
He actually did. He was like, "That's a good idea."
Yeah. And this is like, "Look, blueprint. This is what it looked like if our kids drafted for us."
It's written in crayon, Terry.
All right. Well, Terry Fontenot, the Atlanta Falcons GM, he did meet with the media yesterday, and he talked about how the Falcons' draft position at 8 influenced them toward going after a QB in free agency.
When you're at 8, it's different if we're at 1 or 2, or right? But you're at 8, so there's too many variables in front of you, so you can't guarantee anything. You just don't know. I mean, if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, it's not going to surprise any of us. Right. And so being at that point and not knowing that, it's different if you're more in the top 5 or higher regarding your pick. But there's a known commodity that we had an opportunity to sign. And it doesn't keep you away from signing quarterback. Look, whether it's in the first round, the 7th round, after the draft, a trade, it doesn't take you away from doing more at that quarterback position. Right. Yes, having that opportunity to sign a known commodity with the right makeup and what we really covet here, then because who knows what's going to be there in the draft, to answer your question.
I think it has a lot to do with 8, but I also think it has a lot to do with who is at the top and what their needs were as well. Right? When you look at these top 3 teams, they're not going to budge. This is not a situation like last year with Arizona, where Arizona's like open to dealing. Right. And basically he's saying not only are we at 8, but I think the quarterback is going to go 1 through 4 and these teams are not going to be moving very much. You know what I mean? So I think it kind of goes hand in hand. I think that, you know, obviously you go out and sign the best quarterback in the market and Kirk Cousins and you pay him handsomely for that. But I don't think that Terry probably in the long term outlook looked at it and thought, boy, well, you know, they're going to be willing to let us move into that 2 spot for cheap. Like, I don't think that he ever thought that was an option.
No, there was too many people that wanted to be there, not to mention the guys that were already there were in need as well. And they weren't out signing players that played that position that they knew would be a starter. That's why the draft starts at 4 for me. I mean, I've said it all along. Arizona, and you talked about Austin Ford earlier, the GM, he holds the key to the 2024 NFL draft. I don't care if the Patriots draft Jaden Daniels or Drake May. Right. I really don't. Yeah. I think they're getting one of them. I think it's a smokescreen that they wouldn't. I mean, when you start with a young, you start over, what's the first thing you do? You go get the most important. If you don't have it, you get the most important position. And you start over with that, and you make your decision, unless you're sold that they all suck, which I don't think they are. That's why Arizona holds the keys to this draft at 4. Unless they think that the key to their future and the most important thing for them moving forward is Kyler Murray having the best player to what many think in the draft, which is Marvin Harrison Jr.
And I would say this was the right move, like as Terry put it, a known commodity. So you've already seen what Kirk Cousins
such a good point
can do. And instead of waiting for the unknown in the draft, why don't you go ahead? Unknown in many ways, unknown of, you know, actually, I guess it is kind of certain, as he said it, some of these teams are probably already going to take these quarterbacks right off the board. But you don't know what's going to be left, and you don't know what they're going to be able to do in the NFL, whereas you already knew what Kirk Cousins could do. So it was a safe move. It was a smart move.
You could not have said it any better. And I honestly think the best thing that ever happened to these guys at the top of this draft was what C.J. Stroud did last year. Because when you go back to the 21 draft and the 22 draft, and you look at the quarterback situations coming out of those drafts, I don't think people would have been as eager to make the picks 1 through 4. But all of a sudden, you look at C.J. Stroud last year, and it's like, we can make magic happen.
We
can make magic happen in 1 year. And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, the quarterback value continues to skyrocket. Where you've only seen quarterbacks go 1 through 3 a handful, not even a handful of times in NFL history. And it's going to happen this year.
I also think that Terry is in a different position than the other three GMs that are in the top of the draft. Because they're all first time picking a quarterback. I know the guy. Yeah. I know the guy in Chicago. He didn't pick Fields. He took over after that. So this is his first time drafting a quarterback. He's obviously rebuilding. He's shown some signs of going forward. But these other two guys, they're brand new. And so Terry has this is his fourth draft. Terry couldn't take the risk of missing on one of these quarterbacks. He needed the known commodity at that position because the roster is already close enough that you have the known commodity, you get some starters in this draft where you're at, and boom, you take off, and you need to win this year.
You guys need to win this week because it's a big week for Sports Radio 99, the game, the draft. And this place here, as I messed up this read, is going to be the place for your most comprehensive NFL draft coverage anywhere on the radio. Thursday night, you can join Mike Conti, Wes Durham, and Dave Archer for live coverage of round one from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Friday night, the Wade Ford tailgate crew of John Fricke, Joe Patrick, and Harper LaBelle brings you live coverage of rounds 2 and 3. And on Saturday, Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan are live for the final 4 rounds. Plus, we have late-night coverage Thursday and Friday where we take your calls through 2 a.m. That is the 2024 NFL Draft live all weekend on 92.9 The Game and anywhere in the world on the Odyssey app. Let's hit a TB's timeout.
Now listen up.
Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world.
This ain't funny.
With TB's timeout on the morning shift.
Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
As I mentioned at the start of the show, I think 2 out of the last 4 nights, I had plans. I had dreams of getting a solid night's sleep because you know how important that is.
You did not have dreams. You were awake.
But I was not. I was awake. The first one was this morning. They're both ruined by dogs. One was my own. And yeah, I heard the, you know, that dreaded dog owner sound. You know what I'm talking about when they're about to puke.
Anyway.
Oh, yes. But the bigger story happened Saturday night, where I just worked an event. Everybody was going to go out afterwards that evening. I was exhausted. I said, you know what? I'm going to be the adult. I'm not going to end up at these children's bars like the rest of you. I'm going to go to sleep and wake up refreshed Sunday morning. Mm. Well, as I went to
children's
bed.
Bars.
I went to bed.
They serve apple juice.
Like, people that are
out of the box.
People that are younger than me. People that are younger than me. That's why they serve juice boxes. No, I'm just kidding. So I am awoken. I don't know.
Awoke.
Do I have to say
or
that?
Awaken.
I don't have
awaken.
To say those words.
You were awoke or awakened.
I was woke up. I was awake.
They woke me.
Anyway, so it's 1:45 a.m. I hear barking. I'm like, this barking is not coming from outside. This is coming from inside the building. I was like, this is odd. So I get up. I look through the eye hole and I see a dog outside my door. But it's barking and it's backing up. So So I'm like, what is coming in the other direction to make this dog back up?
Oh, no.
I see a couple coming towards it. So I wait till they are down the hallway, and I know that they will be by the elevator, so it's a safe enough distance for me to crack open my door. I look out.
It's your peering
just,
through it.
I look out, and I see the woman behind him, and I see the man with a broom. So I'm thinking, okay, instantly you're like, these people are scared of dogs. I don't know what this dog is doing. I don't know what's happening. So I say to them, are you guys okay? They said, yeah, this dog just blanked everywhere. And I said, well, is the dog running away from you? They were like,
wait,
yes.
Wait, he blanked everywhere?
The dog took a dump in the hallway.
Oh, my gosh.
So wow. So this gets, the story gets a little crazier. So then I say to them, is the dog running away from you? They said, yes. I said, I'll be right there. Because that lets you know the dog's probably not aggressive.
Was there a collar?
So I am staging my own animal rescue here. I go all the way around the building. Got a couple minutes left here. I come up through a stairwell where I know I'm at a safe distance from this dog. This dog is a bougie dog because I brought two different types of treats. And it only wanted the jerky chicken treats. I'm tossing treats down the hallway. And eventually it gets closer to me. Eventually, after an hour and a half, so now we're talking, we're in the 2 a.m., like, or 2:30, 3 o'clock range. The dog is finally next to me. I can see its name. I will not disclose its name out of privacy on air. And so I'm petting it. We're cool. Eventually, they are able to get a hold of the owner of this dog. And the owner of this dog shows up. They're grateful. The dog apparently had let itself out.
Now, how'd it do that?
So I'm perplexed as to how our doors open. They open inward. How did this dog, it's a heavy door. How did, and the dog is smaller than mine, probably about 40 pounds.
Is it a lever handle or a knob?
Lever.
But
it's inward.
Yeah.
But it's got to push down and then pull out. So that's a heck of a
right? So
reach.
Then I find out like later on, like a few days after this happened Saturday night, this dog is actually able to let itself out.
It's an escape artist.
Because first I'm thinking, who lets their dog, leaves their dog in the hallway?
Hold on.
What kid came back drunk from a party and left this poor puppy out in the hallway? And I felt an obligation to stay because of how certain people are scared of dogs.
Yeah.
And out of fear, dogs might react a certain way. Didn't want something to happen. And I couldn't bring it into my apartment because Roro don't really play that, you know.
Does this person
dogs,
not lock their door? The deadbolt?
I don't know how. So when
that's a
dogs,
good question.
The other question is when dogs, if you've ever been around someone that has a dog with a lot of anxiety, they will do crazy things. I'm not saying the dog unlocked the door. I don't know.
Is it got like the door code?
Well, actually, there is a, I don't know.
A okay,
but dogs can open the refrigerator doors. Usually
the
there's like a rope handle, like service dogs can.
Yeah, but that's not
deadbolted.
I've
seen dogs open
deadbolted.
Lever handles before.
Anyway,
but
basically, this was my dream to
ASPC Tiff.
To rescue an animal, even though we were in the confines of a closed building.
I'm going to tell you something.
I've always wanted to save a puppy.
Tiffany, I got to tell you something.
Even though it wasn't in any danger, really.
This whole sports media thing don't work out for you. You need to get you like a business. You can put the magnets on the side of the car. And like Tiffany's Animal Rescue. Has your neighbor's dog gotten out and no one's there to save it? I'll come.
I'm there. You know?
Wherever there's a dog in distress, I'll be there.
It was a cute dog. I was ready to snatch it up, but that would not be legal.
Well, technically it would because it was on the loose.
So when we come back, you know what is legal? Drafting quarterbacks? Does that work?
It is not legal if you're the Atlanta Falcons GM in 2024.
Get out of there, Terry.
Don't do it, Terry.
We'll get Terry Botno's philosophy on drafting a QB next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.